flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Art didn't say this, but just the way he answered questions, his tone and everything else. I thought he, sometimes when fans get upset that other fans or talk show hosts or media people really get down on the Steelers and want them to go to nuclear options. I think the most common defense that I hear is, oh, so you want Tomlin gone? Who are you going to replace him with? Oh, you want Fields and Russ gone? Who do you want to replace him with? And I think without saying it, that's pretty much what Art did in this Q&A. Yeah, we're probably going to bring one of these two quarterbacks back because there's not a lot out there. And the devil you know is better than the devil you don't, or a bird in one hand is better than two in the bush, that kind of thinking. And I've had too many good seasons or productive seasons with Mike that I can't bring myself to break up with him right now. I can't do it. I'm going to give him a chance to redeem himself, basically. The contract makes it prohibitive for me to do anything nutty and crazy. And so I'm going to stay the course. I don't think he gave like an impassioned defense for the course, or for like the path that they're on or the process that they're using.
Well, the process is going to take them to the same place it's taken them for the last 8 years. So then I guess we got 3 more years of this and then done. And then something new. That should be good.
Maybe.
You ready to go 30 and what? What'll be 30 and 21? 0-3 in the playoffs?
I didn't see this asked today. I'm just looking through the clips that we have. I would have liked to have heard Art's take on the idea of having a season where you take a step backwards to take 2 steps forward. You know, Art, like, how would you be able to stomach a bad year if it meant you'd be in position to draft a quarterback next season? Because one answer that I have here is him saying apparently that he still wants to win right now.
Yeah, I mean, still impatient, you know, disappointed the way we finished. So, you know, it's hard to, you know, hard to get over a 5-game losing streak to end the season.
I have to say, his delivery is just so incredibly uninspiring there.
I thought the same thing.
It's just, it's disappointing. We're impatient. A 5-game losing streak is hard to get over. It sounds like me ordering a bagel. It's just so blasé,
man. Oh, I'm on
a
big bagel kick right now. Got him specifically sent in from New York.
A lot of carbs there, my friend.
Oh, I know.
Oh, worse than
burning the carbs, though, now.
Oh, you're burning them. Wait, you got him sent in from New York? Congratulations, yeah. Mr. Blue Collar.
New York water, too.
Water? That's Philly water. I've heard Montreal is the other great North American bagel.
Donnie, the Rooney stewardship here, his guidance, his hand steering the Steelers in the right direction. You trust it or believe in it right now?
No, because the way that has been going, it is being steered right into a brick wall. And that brick wall is called the playoffs.
Or an iceberg, although Chris...
They get there and they just get absolutely buried.
Chris passed along a conspiracy theory today that the Titanic never actually sunk.
You ever heard that one, Donnie?
What happened?
Elaborate insurance.
It's a big insurance fraud scheme. It had two sister ships, and one of them had severe damage, like, but not enough to sink it from like a previous thing. So they just made the Titanic because it looked identical into that one, and then sank that one at sea. Can you imagine? It's obviously not true. That'd be one hell of a Danny Ocean scheme right there.
Here is Rooney being asked, what do you guys talk about in terms of how you get this team better?
I mean, we talk about the staff all the time, and so that's a process that's ongoing. Other things, you know, probably not things that I'm ready to talk about in here, but, you know, we talk about lots of things in terms of how we try to get better.
You want to talk about dragging your feet on something. The season ended the second weekend in January. It's January 27th. The Super Bowl is going to get played in 2 weeks. You haven't been able to make up your mind on your staff?
That's urgency, no impatience. We're just sitting here. I mean, I guess you're limited, though, Pony, by how many contracts are expiring, no?
History says, yeah.
Yeah, history suggests that you are
they
incredibly loath to do that unless the contracts
are they
expired.
Shopping for upgrades at those positions, and if they don't get them, they're going to bring back the guys on expiring contracts? Is it one of those situations?
You have to at least assume that that's possibly their plan. Again, there is no urgency. Your season ended a while ago. You could have been beating the bushes, pounding the pavement to find people at spots you've identified. You're weak on the staff.
The one positive I'm taking away from this is he did not have the audacity to go his brother's route. Maybe he would have if Jim didn't make those comments to Ross Tucker. He did not. He was not in the mood to try to give us the 10 wins is a good season. We made the playoffs. Never bitch about that.
You're saying, though, if Jim Rooney hadn't said what he said, maybe Art would have gone even further?
Maybe Art would have taken more Jim's stance.
That's what I mean. I don't think that actually would have happened. I think Jim gave you, still some of I almost feel like what he did today, Art, because a lot of people have said he sounded more down in the dumps than he sounded in a long
time.
Yes,
I said that.
No, you and others, I mean, the building.
So you don't believe he's actually down in the dumps?
No,
you think it was an elaborate Art Rooney acting job?
I think he has to strike a different tone from what his brother put out there, which was like, and I'm paraphrasing here, and this isn't what he said, but like, hey, hoi polloi, you know, be happy with what you get.
So you think behind closed doors, he's doing the Larry David pretty, pretty, pretty good?
I think he knew that the Jim Rooney stuff was out there from Ross Tucker, that a lot of people that he was going to be talking to today when he answered questions had heard it and formed opinions, and he knew he needed to strike a distant and different tone than that.
Donnie, do you agree with that? Do you think this was like a acting job, kind of a dishonest Art Rooney today, or do you think he really feels this way, or he just felt like he needed to sound this way in order to appease the masses to some degree?
I don't know if I'd say acting job. I don't know if I'd give his acting chops that much credit.
He's out of Jerry Jones on Landman.
Yeah, he got like rave reviews.
He did.
For that. I do think he knew certain things to say that could actually make fans feel a little bit better, but it still doesn't give people the faith that they will do it because this is an organization that never rocks the boat. So it's like, okay, I appreciate you saying some things or sounding like it didn't go your way, but now you have to act on those words.
412-928-9370. Here is Rick and Freedom on Art Rooney's Q&A. Hello, Rick.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Hey, man, we're good.
You know, we have gone from the city of champions to the metropolis of mediocrity, and people like Art Rooney are so much to blame for it. He needs to turn this team over to Dan the Third because his dad and his grandfather are rolling in their graves right now.
What's your biggest complaint?
He's gutless. He's spineless. He needs to get rid of Tomlin.
Well, he's not going to do that because he just guaranteed him $50 million over the next 3 years.
Exactly, because he's gutless, nutless, and he's a liberal.
Okay, the last part is what I didn't expect.
always like it when something like that just comes out of left field.
Hold on. You know what you're going to get now.
Yep, I do. I'll
the Eagles yes. are so much better than the Eagles.
What happens at the end of that? The Eagles.
I think our guy Fetterman
just like
realized
awkwardly,
he screwed up.
Awkwardly finishes there.
It would be. It would give me more faith or belief in art. Remember, okay, I'm going to hit the rewind button here. Remember when Craig was still producing the show before Donnie came on?
Unfortunately, I do remember
me
that
too.
Time.
And I think it was probably after the Browns playoff loss. And Craig had this buzz phrase that he kept saying. And the buzz phrase was, they need hard conversations. And he kept parroting that and saying, this needs to be a team that has hard conversations. No more get along gang, no more, you know,
Club Med.
Happy that fat cats that have won a Super Bowl in the past and they're still resting on that, or they're still feasting on that. Basically, they need to have hard conversations.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. If that were to if Art actually made. Mike make some philosophical changes, coaching style changes, things like that, you would probably be able to convince me that he was doing his job as owner and there might be a smidgen of hope that this thing could get turned around. Now, they still need a quarterback and Mike still needs to find a way to draft and develop one or find one and develop him. But if I knew that things were not copacetic between the owner and coach, and that in order for the relationship to continue, Mike needed to check certain boxes, I'd feel better about things. But so what I'm saying is that would be the alternative to just saying fire the guy. We're not going to fire you. We're not going to toss you out. But in order to stay here and continue this run that you're on where we never get rid of coaches, you need to do A, B, and C. I just don't see any of that happening. I think it's possible that Art goes to Mike and says, Mike, what are your ideas? What do you think we should do?
Oh, I think he fully defers to his head coach on like serious matters of football.
What do you got? I got nothing.
Mike, it's basically like a teacher going to a student and saying, or like it would happen in our job if somebody thought like you weren't doing a good enough job, but they didn't want to fire you yet. Chris, I'm going to call you into the office. We're not happy with your performance. What do you think you need to do to be better?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, I don't know. I need a huge raise to motivate me or something. You know what I mean? Like, you're not at that point, if you think the person's not doing a good enough job, they are not a reliable, like, fixer of their own bad performance. But I think because Art has delegated so much authority to Mark and Mike, and because Art, like, thinks so highly and has said so publicly about him, I almost feel like he feels like he can't even in private say to Mike, like, hey, come on, man. I know I've said a lot of nice things publicly and you're well compensated, but you are not doing nearly a good.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good enough gig.
No, I certainly hope we continue to have a running game that's one of our strengths. But bottom line is, I hope we have an offense that can take advantage of whatever the defense has given us. And I think that's kind of the key.
5:15. Now is the time to make that call to Buell Insurance Agency. Get those help with premiums. 724-443-5610. Answers like that, though, make me really pessimistic about the Steelers. Simple question. Do you need to evolve and pass more? And I'm not expecting or wanting Art Rooney to say something like, yeah, we do. We need to chuck and duck. We need to become air Coryell, air it out, fun and gun kind of offense. I don't expect that. I expect him to say something like, we need to be open-minded. We need to be open to everything right now. We've not been a good enough offensive team for years. It starts with the quarterback. We got to get that right and go from there. Instead, he says, I still want running the ball to be a strength of the team. I still want running the football.
AFC
that,
North, baby.
It's that kind of thinking that leads you to drafting Najee Harris in the first round. And if you can't break your owner of that thinking,
then why would you expect to break the head coach or anybody else working under the
owner? Well, yeah, I mean, there's a trickle-down effect.
Why would, again, to go back to something I try to bring up a lot, like, why would Mike feel like he's doing a bad job if he wants to run the ball and play defense if he knows his boss wants
that? I mean, look, I like Dale Lally. I think he does a good job.
Do I have to say I like him?
No, you can have your own opinions on the guy. I've got no quarrel with him whatsoever. Comments like that from Art, where it's like, no, this is the way we want to build the team. I'd still like us to be a team that's all about running the ball. And then Lolly came out during the game, when the games ended last night, and said, in the span of 11 days, the Steelers played the two teams in the Super Bowl and also played the Ravens. The first two of them were on the road. He came out later and said, you guys are getting mad at me for just putting facts out there. I guess it's a day for me to basically block and unfollow people on Twitter. You put something like that out there when you work for the team. It just comes across as more excuse making. You can't see it or decipher it any other way. We got dealt a raw deal. We got screwed. It just, Art, to his credit, he did not really like make that an issue today. We thought he would. He mentioned it early in his press conference.
He hinted at, like, I didn't think it was a total excuse, but he did cite the fact that, like, there was three very good teams. He called it the Christmas tournament.
So when I see things like that from Dalen, I still see, like, no, this is what we want to do, run the ball.
It's like closing ranks
just
a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, just when you're not winning enough, I think you have to allow for some new ideologies and like allow for maybe the ethos of your team to change. And I don't think that, basically what I'm saying is, I don't think Art has been so either annoyed or put off or angry or upset or, you know, more of the like sad, depressed, melancholy like emotions. I don't think that's happened to the point yet where he feels, all right, back to the drawing board.
Definitely. Well, they haven't had a season where like the record would reflect that their approach is so broken, have they? I mean, isn't that sort of the point, like the other little poison in constantly having a winning record and never playing irrelevant regular season games? There's no like full on broken year to give you cause to look in the mirror and say, wow, this really isn't working, because you can always look at the games that did work and you can look at the first Ravens game and say, we beat them. It's in there somewhere.
Here's another question that Rutter from the Trib, Joe Rutter, I think, asked kind of a question like this, but not put in a very blunt, direct way. I would have just asked, you said you needed urgency to win a playoff game. You failed at that. Are there consequences that come with that? You had an edict. You had an ultimatum. The team didn't meet it. So what happens now? Right? I mean, like...
Nothing.
No, I would have liked to have heard him kind of go hubba, 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 and la, 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 like...
Is he like that old tugboat? Awooga,
I don't know. Just kind of stumble and bumble his way through trying to answer that.
You don't think he might have said like, well, we are going to have staff changes?
I'm going to wag my finger and say, bad job, Mike. Bad job. I mean, like, what? What does he say?
He would say there are going to be some staff changes.
We didn't meet our goal, and that tight ends coach
is on the first running back train
out of town.
You should see the quality control guys. They're all sobbing right now.
You should have seen Eddie Faulkner's face when I said, Eddie, you're fired.
When I said, Eddie, you're not getting a contract extension.
When I said, Mike Sullivan, you're fired.
That was actually your best McMahon yet. I thought if we asked you to do that, you'd have gone like, you're fired.
When I said, Mike, well, you had an extra year on your contract, and we didn't want to pay you not to work. So we invented a position just like we put that guy in the basement in Office Space. And now, you're fired. Jeff is on the fan. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Jeff.
It's depressing.
Yep.
They've even taken 1 ounce of hope away from us. Like, I don't know. Does Art do the voiceover for Eeyore on Winnie the Pooh? Wasn't he the depressed jackass that walked around muddled? Blah, 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 blah.
Thanks, Jeff. I actually did think that in my head when I was listening to him. There were some Eeyore effects there in the way he sounded.
I mean, I was called Eeyore by my mother and still occasionally am if she sees me sulking even as a near 40-year-old
man. I'm disappointed. We have a lot of work to do.
Now you're
probably a couple of coaching.
You're
changes.
Slipping close to Bouchette Eeyore, but I guess that's kind of the point: is that Eeyore and Bouchette are pretty close together as far as time.
I hope our O line can be a strength of the team. I still kind of like our linebackers.
I'd still like to run the ball.
Okay, now that sounds like Belichick.
I'd still like to run the ball. You've got to run the ball to win in the AFC North. Don't
apparently
pay any
our man
attention
Eddie,
to Joe Burrow.
Apparently, don't pay any attention to not Joe Burrow. Do you see what Tony Pauline said about Joe Flacco?
No.
On the Steelers' radar to be the backup.
Oh, I did see that. I'm sorry. I thought it was something else. Not that I don't really know what it would have been.
Sign Wilson.
Man,
bring in Joe Flacco.
When you think Mike's preferences at quarterbacks, mobility, and you think mobility, the first thing that comes to mind is Joe Flacco, baby.
That's a good point.
At least as mobile as a statue.
That would actually make me feel like Tomlin ain't calling the shots. If here comes a
here's
man.
Here's a read the defense guy, because that's what Flacco is, a read and fire.
Here is Bear on the fan. Hello, Bear.
Hey, what's up?
Nothing, Bear. What do you got?
One of the things you guys don't seem to... Nobody seems to want to understand is Rooney, as in Artie, is a contract/corporate attorney. That's been his life, Rooney Klett. And what's his claim to fame? He got us a new stadium. Daddy was running the show, and now he's been left to run the team. He's running it as a business. Now, guys, I'm not... I'm a big fan as you guys are, but he's running it as a business. And last year for the Rooneys, they did an awful lot of changing, and this year we're saying we need more. They don't like to upset the apple cart. They do, you know, like anyone. We like that extra game. Yes, we would like to have played a couple of extra games. Is he accomplishing the task? Well, as fans, we want more. But.
What am I missing?
Thank you, Bear. Thank you.
I almost feel like that he did that for effect. Like, is he accomplishing the task? Yes, we want more, but. And then, we're never supposed to get the answer there?
It's like the end of Sopranos. You decide what that meant.
Didn't David Chase say what happened to Tony?
No.
Didn't he make it
I don't think
clear?
He ever
I think he
came
did.
Right out
I think
and said
he
it.
Said in an interview, it's obvious what happened.
Exactly. He wants you to think it's obvious. But what is obvious?
Can I do spoilers for a show that ended 20 years ago?
Yeah, you can't really feel bad for people.
I mean,
it ended in
107. The creator of the show intimated that he dies at the end, that he gets whacked.
But he wouldn't show it, so it leaves you to think maybe there's a chance where he was just out at a diner in New Jersey getting dinner with his family. And
there is also a scene, I want to say it's Silvio, where they are talking about death, and one of those guys says, I don't know a whole lot about it, I just know that everything
goes
black.
Yeah, I remember that part.
Hey, Christopher.
All right.
We need Gail.
You know, I think that every team seems to have one or two guys in that room that are, you know, you have to manage them correctly. I still think George has enough talent that we've got to, try to work and see if we can get him to reach his, you know, fulfill the talent that he really has. You know, who knows if we can get there? We'll see. When you have guys that are as talented as some of the guys you're probably thinking of, you try to work with them and have them help you be successful.
Have you guys had any thoughts about, he's entering last year as rookie deal, have you guys had any talks yet about whether you would look towards extending him?
No, we haven't gotten into talking about his contract yet.
Art Rooney talked today, you can tell. We've got all kinds of quotes and sound bites from him in this segment called Rooney's Retorts. That was Art on George Pickens, and I took that to mean we're open for business, make us an offer, and then if they don't like the offer and they have to bring him back, Art pretty much saying to Mike, make it work. I'm paying you a lot of money. Every team has to manage one or two personalities. One of your great skills purportedly as a coach is how you get guys to play hard. Your message hasn't gone stale.
Purportedly.
And make it work for me. Make it work for one more year with this guy.
Not going to happen. It won't work, I mean. If he's got no contract, he's just not going to play nice. I think that's pretty clear at this point. And Pickens himself can say the contrary on social media. It's easy to say, I'm not going anywhere, whatever. When the old rubber meets the road, as Mike is fond of saying, we'll see how George feels if the first game of next season passes. He's got no contract, and he gets three targets for one catch and 12 yards.
I'd put it at about 60-40 that he's gone.
Donnie, what would you put it at?
Because I think somebody will get desperate enough to trade him, say, a third-round pick in the top half of the third round, and I think they'll take that deal.
I feel like I'd go a little bit higher, like 65 or 70 in favor.
Yeah, I was going to say 65 to 70. I just don't think there's an appetite there. He mentioned
I think there's 0% chance he gets a contract extension.
Yes, I would agree with that. You're not supposed to say there's a 0% chance of anything, but I would put a zero on that. I also think Art Rooney said mentioned wide receivers like on three separate occasions today, like the need to get better there. I don't think he mentions it as much if there's an internal idea that they're going to keep Pickens and that they think something's going to work out that both sides can agree on there. Because then you don't treat it as like such an A1 priority.
I don't even think they will negotiate with him. I think they'll just say, nope, we want to see how.
I think that conversation already didn't happen, i.e., they had an exit interview and that was that.
Here is Art on the disparity between the amount of money they spend on offense versus defense.
Well, I mean, look, you know, we have a position in the running back room we're going to have to address. I think we have positions in the wide receiver room we're going to have to address. So, you know, I hope that we don't do that at the expense of the defense. But we do have positions we have to address on, you know, on that side of the ball at this point for sure.
It's a capped sport. Peter to pay Paul here.
Wait,
Art,
why do you hope you don't have to do it at the expense of the defense? Your defense hasn't given you a good ROI.
Here is him answering, do you need to change up the defense?
I'm not a defensive coach, so I can't go into great detail on you know, our defensive schemes. I would just say that, we need, if you're going to stop the run, you got to be disciplined in your gaps, and sometimes we weren't, and not sure why. So there are things like that I think we have to look at, and I'm sure the coaching staff will be looking at that.
Interesting. That makes me, now Carl Dunbar has been here a while, but I would not like if I were him
hearing
a guy that's not really a football player by trade or former coach. He's not Al Davis owning the team or Jerry Jones saying, like, look at the gap integrity in a big playoff game. And it wasn't there.
That's like a very, I know that for football, avid football fans and film people on Twitter, that's like a basic term. But to hear the owner say the phrase gap integrity makes me think the owner feels like, it's definitely my coaching, not the groceries that were bought.
Here he is on Justin Fields' development.
Obviously, you know, we had a winning record. He handled the situation, I think, as a young quarterback who wants to come in and learn and grow. And I think he did grow. And I think he does have that mindset that he wants to get better. So I think that, you know, that makes you feel like, you want to potentially work with him again in the future.
That's a bingo card win for me.
I think I actually got the most.
Fields got better. Yes, he did.
I had
precisely
two.
What he just said there. Rooney bingo.
We did not fill out a bingo, by the way.
No. Because some of these questions didn't get asked.
Oh, I mean, the draft was never talked about.
No. I thought we'd have some minions that just worked those questions in
for us.
To just kind of kill time that were positive topics for him to opine on.
Nothing really about Najee. I mean, running the ball, yes, but really Najee himself.
Well, hold on a second, actually.
Nothing that I've heard.
That answer we just heard about offense
and defense.
Holes
in the running back room. Yeah, he said got to fill in there.
Gave it away.
Goodbye.
That Najee's not going to be back.
Farewell. He all but said, thanks for your service. Thanks for your service, Naj.
but did not credit him for those 1,000-yard seasons, Donnie. You thought that was a layup.
You know what? I would feel so much better, by the way, about like some of the stuff Art's saying about the running game if he said, like, if he just used a couple numbers and said, we ran the ball a lot, we did not run the ball well, like, we cannot go into next year being a team that runs the ball this frequently if we're not going to be much better at it. But again, when he just broad brushes it right into, yeah, just got to run it more.
Yeah, here he is. Can you still win being a run-first team?
Well, I mean, look, it's interesting that we have two teams in the Super Bowl with such different styles. So I think it shows you can win, you know, with more than one approach. And I think the bottom line is you got to try and win with the talent you have in the building and you know, they have sort of two different kinds of talent in their buildings, and so it'll be interesting. It'll be an interesting game. We've got to, you know, build on the strengths that we can put together in our room, and I still think that, you know, running the ball is a route to success, particularly, you know, when you're playing in the north and outside, things like that.
Yes, Art, the two different sets of talent or styles they have are, one team has, at worst, the third-best quarterback ever to walk the earth with the best offensive schemer of his generation. The other team has literally the best roster in football top to bottom, the best offensive line, and a running back whose talent was such that he was picked second overall. You have none of those things.
Well, that's another thing. I mean, look, he's available for only 25 minutes or whatever it is, so there's going to be questions from these reporters that get left on the cutting room floor and whatnot. But much like we've talked about the demise of the Pirates, and yes, spending is a huge part of it, but so is their flops and their failures in drafting and developing. You could make the same argument for a lot of these early picks with the Steelers. And Kevin's gone, so he might say, hey, we've got new leadership there. But I would have just wanted to ask our... to what you just said about the Eagles roster. You've said that Mike is a good coach, and that's why you don't get rid of Mike. But is it still prudent to have Mike do all of this stuff outside of his coaching domain?
So much roster, you know, talent acquisition, so pivotal in every way when it comes to going to the Senior Bowl and scouting players.
Yeah, here's what's going to happen either tomorrow or Wednesday. We're going to come in here, we're going to turn on NFL Network, and they're going to show the live Senior Bowl practices. And your Daniel Jeremiah's or your Lance Zierlein's or these people that are there covering the practice are going to say, look at Mike Tomlin. He's right out there. He's like one of the coaches.
He's doing so much coaching. He's dapping up Bo Nix.
Yeah, exactly.
There's Mike.
Look at him.
Bro-hugging Bo Nix.
Look at him with Quinyon Mitchell.
Oh, man.
He's saying, if you're a dog, you got to want to go after a dog. You got to be the dog that bites.
How does this dog eat? He bites. Dogs bite. They make money. You want to be the
dog? They got a clamp in him.
You want to be, you want to be the top dog? Don't put the clamps in you. Put the clamps on the receiver.
So then, and that's going to be looked at as like what is a separator and what makes Mike a phenomenal coach. That's how it'll get spun by them. But if you think about it, that really is what led to Bill Belichick getting run out of New England and working at North Carolina right now, where he had to do that because even in a hiring cycle where Pete Carroll gets a job, then Brian Schottenheimer, people didn't want to give him that authority. That's actually really interesting. Bill Belichick has basically been blackballed by the NFL. The problem is he wants too much power. Mm-hmm. What's the problem here? Mike Tomlin has too much power. The industry has basically told you it's a bad idea to give even the most successful coach in terms of Super Bowl wins too much power. So what do? We give a guy that's won one and hasn't won a playoff game since 2016 too much power.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.